I think from my experience, I think one of the things that's, that somebody did with me is loved me very well through that process and walked with me. That relational relationship with that person is very important because as soon as somebody realizes that you care for them, as soon as somebody realizes that you really love them and not just say you love them or give them hugs on Sundays, you know, I think that's very important because Nate said, everything I do is love. And love is the thing that surpasses all things. So I think being intentional with the relationship and being able to love somebody very well and walk with them through it, no matter how long it takes. Because it took 4 or 5 years for people to pray for me to come to the understanding and the knowledge of Christ.
Amen. So,
one more.
I want to just add one more key thing, and I think love is great, and I'm all for love, but I also think we need to be sensitive to the timing. And sometimes we want to move out of timing or push people out of timing, and I think that we have to be sensitive to people wanting to move and desiring to move, and as leaders, really sensing God's timing in their movement. And so also walking alongside them to see, is this God's time for you to move? And if they're not ready to move, letting them be in that place until God unctions them that it's their time to move. And we can love them where they are, but I also believe that we have to be sensitive to God's timing and moving them and us moving on until they get to that place in time that they want to come along as well.
Amen. Amen. We have a question here that pertains to the session on coming out of the boat. It says, Jesus is saying, come, and I want to say it is you speaking, not John or James or Andrew. Now, the question is, where are we going? Do we know where this movement is headed, or are we at a point where we are still asking God?
I don't know.
Nice one. I like that answer.
I don't know.
I think the movement is headed towards, you know, Christ's inevitable return, right? I mean, when Christ returns, he's going to find a bride that's pure and spotless, one church. Yeah. And so until we start to see that, I think we're still working on it. But that's what we're working toward. We're working toward being something that is beautiful to Christ. And so as we walk this out together, that's what we're trying to do.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody else on that?
For me, I think that what this kind of thing does for me or for believers is to head towards the direction of true repentance. Because I think we've put a cap on repentance. Father God, forgive me for doing this, this, and this, but I find myself doing it all the time, you know, keep doing it, or keep being that way. I think we have to grasp the purpose of repentance, because if we ever want to see this revival take off, it's going to take everybody in this room putting the shovel to the dirt. Right? It's going to take everybody to get their hands dirty. Everybody to pull out those bones out of those closets, right? That's what it's going to take. And it's not, we could sit here, you know, and do this thing and continue to do it. But if we don't do it with the understanding of the purpose of repentance, of for the reason we've led this city to where it's at now, God will hear our hearts, you know what I mean? And I think that's going to be a big issue, because when I read about David and when he repented, looks nothing like I repent. He cried out. He cried out. And what it looks like to cry out to God for us to be healed, for this land to be healed, for the city to be changed, and for churches to be in unity, and for the body of Christ in this part of the United States of America to be united like no other, it's going to cause us some hurts and pains. So I believe this is leading to that direction of we're going to be hurting. We're going to be in some pain here soon, you know. And some of you guys will get uncomfortable. I will get uncomfortable. Some of us will want to quit. Some of us will want to give up. But this is what God's calling us to do.
Amen. You just think about any time a place has experienced revival, the church has to be in unity. So if we want to experience revival in the city of Kalamazoo, the church has to experience some unity. It can't look like what it's been looking like. It's going to be us coming together on a whole different level. And when the Holy Spirit comes down on this place, like Nate was saying, it ain't going to look like what we think it's going to be. You know, we just have to be ready that we don't miss it. So it's for a time like this. This is a little piece of revival right now. This is just a little piece of it. But what's to come is on a greater level than we probably can even imagine.
Yeah, I think you've articulated, Michael, in my mind, the primary reason why any congregation would want to be a part of JLK. It's simply a mechanism to express our hearts towards unity so that we can welcome more of the movement of God in our community and not roadblocking it in any way. All right, so on that transition, how do we maintain unity among our denominations or non-denoms when we hold different beliefs, like Holy Spirit, baptism, tongues? Okay. Who wants to start with that?
James?
Not me.
The Apostle Paul talks in the book of Romans about disputable matters. You know this?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The disputable matter then was food offered to idols. Should you eat it or not? And they argued. See, we're dumb, and we argue over dumb things. If we would just understand that Jesus is Lord, he died for sins, he went to the grave, yeah, and he came out of the tomb, and if we realize this is the central unifying factor, most other things we can call disputable matters, and you deal with that there, I'll deal with it here, but we are unified under that which is indisputable. If we just catch a little wisdom, and if we just set aside some theological preference that comes with thought, yeah, we would be much more unified.
Yeah. And the panel said amen.
Amen. There you have it.
Next question.
This is similar to the other question. What will unity look like if one part of the body is uncomfortable with a particular style of worship and they are seen as not having the Spirit? Would there be love and patience, or does everyone get on board, or will individuals be left at the station?
Rob? I think when Nate said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to take sides. And you can't say that, well, we worship this way and this is the right way, or we worship that way. God is a God who receives all worship. Even if you're rolling on the ground, jumping up and down, or whatever it is, however you worship, God receives your worship.
Amen.
The thing is, the question, can we as human beings receive that worship? So I realize when I think about God's people and when I think about the race of people, I believe that God has, there's only one race on this earth, and that's the human race.
Amen.
Right? Amen. We're just from different nations. But I can't say that Pentecostals shouldn't worship the way they worship, because I'm not God and they're not doing it for me. So I say to you, worship how you feel you think God, you want to worship God. feel free to worship God laying on the ground, jumping up and down, running back and forth. Feel free to do it because God receives your worship.
Amen.
Right? Where were we talking? Oh, in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it talks about do the work for God, not unto men, do it unto the Lord. Right? So then that's important. But we got to do it with excellence. So to those who can't receive that, I think you better get in your prayer closets and really seek after the Lord and let Him deal with that stuff in your heart. Because who are you to say that that's not the way we worship God?
That's right.
See, Jesus rebuked people a lot. He rebuked the older, obedient religious brother. He rebuked the Pharisees, who were incredibly religious, and he rebuked the sister Martha, who worked a ton for God but didn't know him. So if we are stuck in our preferences at the point of division, stop, get over it, get with Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I just want to just talk about the book of Acts for a moment, when it talks about they were in the upper, they were all on one accord. And it talks about how long they were in the upper room to get them to a place of being on one accord. And I really believe that in this time, the Holy Spirit just didn't come. It took time, and I believe it took time because they had to be unified, they had to be in line, they had to be thinking the same things. And one of the things I was just thinking about is some of my own experiences in coming into fellowship more often with different cultures and different denominations, some of the challenges that come with that. And my sister back there is laughing because she knows what I'm going to say. I've gone to those places where I'm thinking, if this is what prayer is about, I don't know what prayer is if y'all silent in prayer, because in my church, we're not silent in prayer. We go for it. And so it really is looking at those differences and seeing where the unity is in the differences. Instead of seeing it as difference, where can we see the common ground? Where can we see the common denominator of what really the Holy Spirit is wanting to do? And if we can get out of our mind that everything is different, everything always has to be different, but where is the sameness in it? Where is the commonness in it? And so I really believe God wants us to see where the common ground is in our worship. So if you like to sing slow songs with a lot of words in it, can you pull out the chorus for me so I can catch on to the words to the song? I mean, where can we find the common ground in it? And so I think we get all touchy about talking about race and ethnicity and culture, but I think if we don't talk about it, we never really get to the heart of the issue so that we can find where is our commonness in this. And our common ground is that we all love Christ, that we all want to live Him, we all want to see His kingdom advance. So if you worship a little bit differently, that's okay, because I know that you love Jesus. If you sing a little louder and I have to put my earplugs on, it's okay, because I know you love Jesus. And so I think that's the common ground, is that we have a love for each other. And the Lord, the Bible says, how do we know that you are my disciples? And it says, because you have love for one another.
Yeah. That's outstanding. Did you say that we shouldn't be touchy or dutchy? I didn't.
I'm going to leave that on you.
Just checking. Okay, we're in the 3-minute warning. Talk about, and this will be lightning round, so you got to talk fast. Talk about some of those things that could cause us to become stuck while we're trying to move forward. What should we watch out for?
I think some of the things that could cause us to get stuck as we're trying to move forward is focusing on the way the Lord has moved in the past. And we have to keep looking to the Holy Spirit and get a sense of what He's going to do, what's on His heart, what's He want to do next, and stay open to that, even if we have never experienced it before.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to also pay attention to our own hurts and old the stuff that we bring to the table, our own hurts, our own frustration, our own past experiences, and be willing to let those things go so that we can move forward.
Those same things that have been keeping us apart, that those denominational things, those black and white things, black, white, yellow, brown, yellow, all those things that have separated us in the past, we're going to have to be strategic in prayer in breaking down those things, because those are the things that has hindered us. So now we know that that's what's hindered us. We need to seek those things in prayer to get those things tore down so we can move forward.
Yeah, and continue to seek God for our priorities. Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then let Him add the things to us that we need to be about.
Yeah. I think I'd like to just conclude with this question, but I'm just going to say it as a statement because I think it applies to all of us. When Jesus came to earth, He willingly gave up power. As a follower of Jesus, are we willing to give up power and position? And if so, what would that look like? And I think there is a lot of wisdom in that thought, that in order to keep moving forward, we're going to have to move downward. And it's only through humility that the Spirit moves. He opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And it takes humility to say, I don't have all the answers. It takes humility to say, I've screwed up in the past. It takes humility to say, we're better together than we are just trying to do church on our own. So why don't we just wrap, why don't you give these guys thanks for sharing. Well done. And before you head back, I'm going to pray. Pretty cool. There are 193 people here in the room and 35 churches that are represented, 35 congregations. So good.
That sounds like a good start with me.
Yeah. Sounds great. Why don't we stand for prayer? I'll start, and Pastor Scott, do you mind closing? All right, why don't you grab onto a hand of somebody? This doesn't mean the day is over. We're just concluding this particular section. Let's pray together. So they were all together in one place. And they were waiting on the Lord. And then you showed up in power. And it was unmistakable. Please do it again. God, don't let me go to my grave without seeing you do something special in our city. Our hearts long for this. So bind our hearts together with cords that cannot be broken by anything. And give us wisdom to resist the strategies of the evil one. Thank you for hearing our prayers.
Father, we thank you this afternoon for this panel. We thank you for the discussions that have started. We thank you for the questions and the answers that have been given. We thank you for the directions and the next steps that we're going to take to continue this spirit of revival in our city. We thank you, O God, for opening our hearts and looking at what's inside and going down into the basement of our hearts and allowing for us to be real with one another and transparent. And we just give your name praise and we give your name thanks in advance for what is going to become of this session, this advance, this moving forward that we are, this process that we are in. And Father, we give you praise. We give you glory to your name. We give you thanks. And we know that all things work together for the good of those that love you and to them, to us that are called according to your purpose. We acknowledge that it's not about any of us, but it's all about you. And Father, we give your name thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.